Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to be looking at questions as Christians we need to ask. If you've read the Bible through at least one time, hopefully many more times than one time, what stands out, you'll see there's a lot of questions in the Bible. And what I want us to look at, there are questions in the Scriptures that were asked by some of the Bible's most familiar characters. And I believe as we survey some of these questions today on the Pastor's Study, I believe these are questions as Christians, as born-again children of God, we need to ask. Amen? In fact, how we answer these questions will determine our success or failure in our Christian walk. The first question I want us to look at is found over in the book of Acts in chapter 9. And it was asked by then Saul of Tarsus, who we know later became the Apostle Paul. In fact, this question that Paul asked was when he was on the road to Damascus, amen, before his conversion. We know that he persecuted Christians, amen. He was on the road to Damascus, amen, to go and get Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem, amen. And he had the authority to do so. And as he's traveling along, amen, a bright light knocks him down off his horse, amen, to the ground, amen. And of course, we know that this was the Lord Jesus Christ appearing to him. Now, the question that Paul asked, he asked the question of the Lord Jesus Christ immediately following his conversion on the Damascus Road. Notice the question in Acts chapter 9. Amen, in verse 6. And he, talking about Saul then, the Apostle Paul, and he trembling, astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Immediately, upon his conversion, he asked the Lord what his will was for his life. Paul was totally submitted to whatever the Lord's will was for his life. Right there, right off the bat, right at his conversion. He didn't wait a day or a month or a year or what have you. Right off the bat, right at his conversion, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And you know what? That's why I believe that Paul was so successful and victorious in his Christian walk. That's why Paul could write to the believers at Philippi from a prison cell in Rome and say these words. He penned these words in the book of Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. And the reason he could do that was he was totally submitted to the Lord's will for his life. That's why he exhorted the believers at the Church of Rome. He exhorted them when he said in Romans chapter 12, in verses 1 and 2, he said, I beseech you. That word beseech is a very strong word. It almost has the meaning to beg, amen, to plead. He didn't ask, amen. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. He's talking to saved people. By the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the reason for this, all of this, amen, is that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. My friend, listening today, if you haven't presented your body to God a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which, by the way, is your reasonable service, it's not anything out of the extraordinary. And if you're still being conformed to this world, amen, no wonder you don't know what the will of God for your life is, amen, because you won't be able to until you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. and you transform your mind. Not being conformed to this world, but transforming your mind. How? By renewing your mind. How? How do you renew your mind? By reading, studying, meditating on the Word of God. My friend, you need to be renewed. You're spending too much time in front of the television. You're spending too much time in front of the computer. Amen? You're spending too much time watching the movie DVDs, amen, on your DVD player or your VCR or whatever it is. No wonder your mind hasn't been renewed. No, what those things do is make you more and more conformed to this world. And that's what most Christians are lacking. They need to be renewed. Amen? They need to be renewed. We're looking at the question here. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Paul asked the Lord immediately after being converted. You know, the sad fact is that many a Christian who has been saved for a number of years has never, ever asked that question of the Lord, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And that's why, sadly, many Christians have never done or gone anywhere for the Lord. My friend, I ask you today, have you asked this question since you've been saved? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? If you have not, why not today? Ask him right now, the one who saved you, how you can serve him. Now, the next question I want us to look at was asked of Joseph over in Genesis chapter 39. Remember, Joseph was one of the 12 sons of Jacob. His other brothers were jealous of him. They plotted to kill him, and then they backed off, amen? We know that his father, Jacob, favored him, gave him a coat of many colors. His brethren threw him in a pit. He eventually got sold down into slavery into Egypt, amen? And then we see, though, we read in Genesis 39, despite all of his circumstances, despite everything seeming difficult, amen, we read over and over again in that chapter that the Lord was with Joseph. And he rose to great prominence in Egypt, did he not? Amen, if you read the account. Pharaoh had given him everything except one thing, amen. His master, Potiphar, allowed him free reign with everything in his house except one thing, and duly right, his wife. And we know that Potiphar's wife was a wicked woman, because the Bible tells us she tempted Joseph day by day to lie with her, to commit adultery. Day by day the temptation came. But when he was tempted, this is the question that Joseph asked. He said this, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph knew that what Potiphar's wife wanted him to do was great wickedness, was sin in the sight of God. The Word of God tells us in verse 12 of Genesis 39, and she, that's Potiphar's wife, caught him, Joseph, by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. You know, often I remember a preacher said that Joseph lost his coat, amen, but he didn't lose his character, praise the Lord. He fled and got him out. I believe this question, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? is a question that all Christians should ask themselves when they are tempted to sin. Because any sin, no matter big or small, is great wickedness in the sight of a holy God. I believe that you and I can avoid a lot of problems and troubles in our lives if we but ask ourselves this question when tempted to sin. Amen. How then can I do this great wickedness in sin against God? The next question, number 3, brings us over to the book of Acts, chapter 8. And in Acts chapter 8, we see the Ethiopian eunuch. He was a proselyte. He was converted to Judaism. Amen. And he's coming back from Jerusalem, riding in his chariot. And of course, the Holy Spirit had pulled Philip the evangelist out of a revival meeting there in Samaria to go to the desert of Gaza, because he knew that this man needed to be saved, this Ethiopian eunuch. So we see that the Ethiopian eunuch is reading about the crucifixion of Christ in the book of Isaiah. And he quite doesn't understand what he's reading. Amen. And in Acts chapter 8, we read in verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet, this of himself or of some other man? And so Ethiopian eunuch asked Philip, who is the prophet Isaiah speaking about himself or someone else? Then in verse 35, we read, in Acts 8, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Amen. So he preached to him Jesus. In other words, the prophet Isaiah was talking about Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. Amen. And then we read on in verse 36. And as they went on thither, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and here's the question. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? The Ethiopian eunuch asked the question of Philip the evangelist. After Philip had got done preaching Jesus to him, he asked him, amen, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, what I want you to notice is Philip's response to his question in verse 37 and the eunuch's response there. In verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Notice with me that first the eunuch believed on Jesus Christ, and then he was baptized by immersion in water. Amen. See, Philip, before he would baptize him, wanted to make sure he was saved. And he testified, the eunuch testified, yes, indeed. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. And I believe, this is a question that should be asked of every new believer. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Every believer, as an act of obedience to the Lord and a testimony of his or her salvation, should have a desire to be baptized. In fact, I have never seen anyone amount to anything for the Lord who wasn't baptized after being saved. There's something else I want you to notice. In the modern so-called Bible versions, verse 37, which I just read to you out of the God's inspired, preserved, infallible word, King James Bible, is either totally removed or footnoted, with the footnote stating the verse 37 was not found in the so-called older manuscripts. Now, I want you to pay particular attention. If you remove verse 37 and go right from verse 36 to 38, notice what happens. The eunuch asks, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And if you cut out 37 and you go right to 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. See, what happens here is, when you remove verse 37, then you have the teaching that a person is saved. How is he saved? By water baptism. Not grace through faith in the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. In this, my friend, is a heresy. The heresy that water baptism saves an individual, that's damning many a person to hell. Amen? Again, that water baptism, as we call it, believer's baptism, is for someone who has been saved first. And when you go, when you're totally immersed, it's a type of burial. Amen? If you think of it this way, when you bury someone, you bury them 6 feet under. Amen? You don't stand them up against a tree and sprinkle dirt on them. You put them under. And that baptism is a picture of a burial. A burial. You're buried with Christ, and then you come up out of the water. You're resurrected and risen with Christ. Amen? And that's an outward testimony of what took place in your heart when you trusted Jesus Christ. Amen? And also a picture of your resurrection someday because of your belief in Christ. You've died to your old self, and now you're walking in newness and life in Jesus Christ. Let's move on to the fourth question. And that's found in John chapter 6. Now, the Gospel of John chapter 6, amen. Remember, Jesus talks about how he is the bread of life and how the bread that came down to the Jews' father in the wilderness, they still died, amen? But Jesus is the bread of life, amen? And he talks about how, in a spiritual sense, amen, although the Roman Catholics want to take it in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense, he said, to have eternal life, you have to eat my body and drink my blood, amen? And, of course, we know that he was speaking in a spiritual, not a physical sense, because later on in the chapter, he said, the flesh profiteth nothing. Amen. That's right. The flesh profiteth nothing. Then we see what happens here. Of course, the Apostle Peter, amen, asks a question of him. See, what happens after the Lord had talked about how he was the bread of life and you had to eat his body and drink his blood, many found that to be a hard saying. And many of his disciples walked with him no more. Amen. And then Jesus asked his remaining disciples that are there, that stayed there, amen, that didn't fold up their tent and leave. He asked them a question. Amen. He says to them in verse 67 of John 6, then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? And notice the question that Simon Peter asked. He said, then Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Lord, to whom shall we go? And he goes on, he says, thou hast the words of eternal life. The Apostle Peter asked this question of the Lord after he taught in the synagogue, amen, about he was the bread of life, and unless you ate his body and drank his blood, then you could not have eternal life. Amen. Simon Peter says to Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Many of his disciples walked with him no more. But Peter said, Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. My friend listening today, this is a question each one of us needs to ask when things get tough. Amen? Our Christian walk, our things get tough in our Christian walk. Amen? When things get tough with our walk with the Lord, when you suffer persecution for your faith in Christ, when we grow weary in well-doing and want to quit, there is no place to go but to the Lord. We need to ask, as Simon Peter asked, to whom shall we go? See, Jesus is the only one who can provide the solution to our problems. Jesus is the only one who has the answer to life's questions. He is the only one who has the words of eternal life. Amen. That's right. You know, many people will go and they'll follow this one and that one, amen, this philosopher and that philosopher, or they'll follow some leader or some cult, amen, and follow the writings of these different individuals, like Mary Baker Eddy, the founder of Christian Scientists, has writings. Mary Ellen White, the founder of the Seventh-day Adventists. Then we have Judge Russell, amen. And, you know, people follow his readings, his sayings and what have you, and he's the founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses. And, of course, we have Joseph Smith has his writings, amen. He's the founder of the Mormons, amen. And then we have Muhammad and the Muslims, the founder of the Muslim, and Buddha, and so forth and so on. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus is the only one that has the words of eternal life. It's only through him that you can be saved, that you know when you die 100% sure that you'd go to heaven. Amen? Because he has the words of eternal life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen? If you want to be saved, if you want to know you're going to heaven, you need to go through the door of salvation, which is Jesus Christ. He's knocking at the door. He wants to come into your heart. And what you need to do, if you haven't done it already, to let him in is repent of your sins. Confess that you're a sinner. Repent of your sins. Ask God for the forgiveness of your sins. And pray and receive Christ by faith in your heart, believing that he died. He died for your sins, was buried, arose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Amen. We have a fifth question that we want to look at. And this is found in John chapter 9. In John chapter 9, we see a man that's blind. And, of course, his disciples asked Jesus, why is this man blind? Is it because he's a sinner or his parents are sinners or what have you? And Jesus says it's not for any of those reasons that he was born blind, but for God to get glory. Amen? And in John 9:17, we see in John chapter 9, verse 17, the Pharisees asked the question, this question of the man whose sight was restored by Jesus. And the question was this, and it's found in John chapter 9, verse 17. What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thy eyes? Amen. What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? And of course, the man whose eyes had been healed, he could see now, his response was that Jesus was a prophet. Amen. See, this man at the time did not fully understand that it was the Messiah, amen, the Lord's Christ, that healed him. This man did not have the revelation and the light that we have as New Testament Christians today, amen. In a spiritual sense, we need to ask ourselves the same question. What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? My friend, what do you say to others about the one who has opened your eyes? Do you tell them he saved you from a sinner's hell by his death, burial, and resurrection? Do you tell them that you are a new creature in Christ? Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Do you tell them that you have eternal life and can't lose it because no one can pluck you out of the hand of the Father and Jesus, who are one? Do you tell them that you have a joy unspeakable and full of glory? Do you tell them that you have a peace that passeth all understanding? Do you tell them that you're saved by the blood of the crucified one? And do you tell them that you're looking for a far better country? Amen. My friend, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? Amen. We want to see question number five, actually number six. found in James 4:14. He asked the question, for what is your life? For what is your life? And he answers by saying that it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. In other words, life is short. And you and I are not promised tomorrow. So we need to ask ourselves the same question, for what is our life? When we look back, what will your life count for? Only those things done for Christ will last. Will it be a life of works consisting of wood, hay, and stubble? When tried at the judgment seat of Christ, will be burned up, resulting in a loss of reward? Or will it be a life of works consisting of gold, silver, precious stones? When tried at the judgment seat of Christ, will abide, resulting in receiving a reward. For what is your life, my friend? What does it count for? Oh, we only have one life, amen, on this earth, and only those things for Christ will last. Then the last question we want to look at is found over there in Matthew 27 and verse 22. And of course, here we have Pilate before the crowd, and as the tradition for that at the feast, amen, they release a prisoner, amen. And in this particular case, you had, on the one hand, you had Barabbas, a murderer, a man who was found for causing insurrection, amen, a thief. And on the other hand, we had a sinless man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Pilate asked the crowd this question, what then shall I do? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Amen. And they answered, amen. The crowd, when he said, who should I release? When he presented them both, Jesus and Barabbas, and he asked them, which one of the two should I release? They answered, Barabbas. And he said, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And the crowd answered, let him be crucified. This is a question each unsaved person needs to ask him or herself. What shall I do then with Christ, or with Jesus? What then? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And how you answer that question, my friend, will determine where you spend eternity, in either heaven or hell. If you reject him, as the crowd said, let him be crucified, then when you die, you'll end up in a literal lake of fire. If you accept him today as your personal Savior, you receive eternal life in heaven with the one who saved you. The Word of God tells us in John chapter 3, verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. If you've believed on Jesus Christ, amen, you've received him by faith into your heart, trusting in his shed blood alone to pay for your sins, then you're not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you want to reject Christ, you're condemned. Your sentence awaits you, for the wages of sin is death. You're going to be cast in a literal lake of fire someday. And then we see in John chapter 3, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. If you've believed on the Son of God, that Jesus Christ, present tense, right now you have everlasting life. And he believeth not, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Amen. You want to reject Christ? God's wrath abideth on you. Amen. Again, that wrath is going to be poured out on you in that lake of fire someday. Either accept Christ's payment for your sins, or you'll pay for your own sins in the lake of fire. Amen. If you've never done it, won't you trust Jesus Christ today? That's all the time we have on the Pastor's Study. This is Brother Gino Cassiere. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.